People miss that bullfrog choir in July. Men, come on and step up to the plate. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 6. We're finishing up our series this morning in this amazing letter, and we're continuing and concluding with our study on spiritual warfare. I hated to leave you where I did last week, but I hope it created lots of conversation, lots of thought, lots of reflection. For those of you who weren't here last week, we were reminded that the real world in which we live is a world, as it says in Job 1, where Satan thinks he's in control. Paul in Ephesians 6 calls it this present darkness. The Christian life doesn't occur on a carnival cruise line. It occurs on the beaches of Normandy. Parents, we don't raise children in a playpen. We raise them in what amounts to a steel cage of the steel cage fighting that is popular today. Work doesn't occur behind a desk, but behind enemy lines. And then we were also reminded of who our real enemy is. It's not circumstances. It's not people. It's not relationships. Paul parades an amazing array of demonic forces before our eyes in this passage. And our real enemy is personal evil, who is out to kill your heart and steal your joy and kidnap your purpose. And the enemy doesn't primarily work by sending bad circumstances into our lives. The enemy primarily works in trying to get us to respond with fear or control in the midst of circumstances. That's where the real battle is. The real battle is not that you get a cold or that you have a little bit of a fender bender or even that you get cancer. The real battle is Satan tempting us to respond in fear, unbelief, doubt, control, withdrawal, domination. And so this morning, we come to the real solution. Remember Hans Christian Andersen's tale, The Emperor's New Clothes? There was a king who was very fond of appearances. And some tricksters came into town to try to bait him based on his weakness. And they promised that they would make him the finest of clothes that were only visible to the wise and pure in heart. He took the bait, paid them a great amount of money. And they sat down at these supposed looms and began weaving. But there was nothing there to see because they didn't exist, except to those who had supposedly a wise and pure heart. So nobody wanted to admit that they couldn't see. There were no looms. And the thieves, the tricksters, just continued to pretend. And then finally the day came when the outfit was complete and the emperor was stripped bare and the tricksters put the garment supposedly on the king and he paraded down through the streets of the kingdom. Notice the beauty of the emperor's new clothes. And again, it was only seen by those who were wise and pure in heart. So nobody wanted to admit that the king was naked except an innocent young boy who said, "Look, the king has no clothes." And suddenly everybody, including the king, knew he was naked. In the church today, the church, there are people trying to sell you a clothing line. And if you buy into it, you will parade into spiritual warfare naked and exposed. There's only one set of new clothes that will arm us in battle. And we read about those in the text before us this morning. Let's all stand out of reverence for God's word. Follow along as I read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. This is the word of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now listen to this. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Here's the parade now. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. May God bless the hearing and teaching of his inspired, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, come and teach. Lord Jesus, cover us with your protective blood. Drive the enemy far from us and help us to be clothed in the armor. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Okay, you're all going to be exposed a little bit today, one way or the other, because you can find out a lot about what you think about the Christian life by understanding how you interpret these verses. You can find out a lot about what Christians think of the Christian life by how they interpret these verses. Some Christians read these verses and they look at the armor as human virtues, human achievement. And if you interpret these verses in that way, you are in fact parading into spiritual warfare with the emperor's new clothes, and you are naked and you are exposed. This passage is not about if you're truthful enough, or you're faithful enough, or you believe enough, or you act righteously enough. If that's the proper interpretation of these verses, then your protection against supernatural evil is only as strong as your own resources themselves. The proper interpretation of this passage and this armor is that we truly are given the emperor's new clothes. We are given the armor of God, which is simply putting on the gospel and living in light of the promises of our union with Christ. You see, even if we're scrawny little dudes, if we are taking our stand in Christ, we need not fear any evil. There are six pieces of armor that I'm going to cover very quickly that is part of the gospel and our union with Christ. Now again, look at verse 10. It says, be strong in the Lord. The real solution is the Lord, not your own might, not your own resources, but the Lord. It's even the passive voice. Be strong. Find strength in something outside of yourself, that is Christ. Be strong in the cross. Be strong in his victory through his blood. We need not fear if we stand in Christ. So, even the form and tense of putting on the armor assumes it's something that is given to us, something that we're to be confident in. First of all, be armed with the belt of truth. Now, later on in the passage, Paul talks about Scripture. He talks about the Word of God. So, he wouldn't be redundant. What's he talking about here when he says, put on the belt of truth? Well, we learn, like we do with many things in Scripture, a lot about the New Testament by reading the Old Testament. People, if you don't know your Old Testaments, you can't understand your New Testament. And so in Isaiah chapter 11, we hear about the branch of Jesse, the root of David, the Messiah. And we're told that faithfulness will be the belt around his waist. This is not talking about you being faithful, as important as that is. Listen, just because the armor is not talking about our own resources or our own virtue, please don't think for a second that our own virtue is not important. Please don't think for a second that striving after holiness through the fight step of the waltz is unimportant. There are plenty of passages elsewhere that teach us to be truthful and honest and faithful. But that is not going to help you stand against evil. What Paul's talking about here is the faithfulness of Christ. Be confident that he died for you, that he lives for you, that his blood was shed for you, that through his blood he has disarmed the principalities and the powers, that he is the way and the truth, and he's the truth that sets you free. And so take your stand in the truth of Jesus being your Savior, who not merely redeemed you from sin, but rescued you from the powers of hell itself. And when you feel under attack, you run and hide beneath the wings of the Savior who loves you. Secondly, be armed with the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate covers the most vital organ in our bodies, and that is our hearts. And to understand the breastplate of righteousness again, we need to go to the Old Testament. Isaiah 59, verse 17. The Messiah puts on righteousness as a breastplate. In the Old Testament, the breastplate of God, the righteousness of God, is his coming to the rescue of the distressed and the downcast. People, if you're putting on your own righteousness as your armor against the forces of evil, he can pierce that like it was rice paper. If you put your confidence in your own obedience to keep away the fiery darts and missiles of the enemy, you will be pierced. But the righteousness of Christ is unassailable. And in the midst of the voice of lies condemning you and shaming you, you put on that breastplate of righteousness, that because of your faith in Christ, you are dressed, you are robed in his righteousness. And therefore, you can put out all of those dark thoughts of shame and guilt. Then thirdly, be armed with the shoes of gospel peace. Look at verse 15. Feet fitted with readiness from the gospel of peace. Now, how is this interpreted in a man-centered way? If you really want to be strong in spiritual warfare, share your faith. Put on those gospel shoes and share your faith. Now listen, are we supposed to share our faith? absolutely. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. Having your shoes fitted with readiness that comes means that you're able to stand and you're able to have a low center of gravity. You're not going to be pushed off balance. And the gospel of peace that gives you that sure footing is the peace you have with God. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. God is not hostile towards you if you know Christ. He is not against you. And in the midst of warfare, if you're standing in your own righteousness or try to manufacture your own peace based on going out and sharing your faith, as important as that is, the enemy is going to mount a counteroffensive. And he's going to say, you're not righteous enough. You're not sharing your faith enough. You're still exposed. I'm going to keep coming at you, evil says. But putting on our feet the peace that comes from the gospel gives us that sure standing so that we're not thrown off balance. Number four, be armed with the shield of faith. Verse 16, this is this long oblong shield that if you've seen movies and they have the archers and they light the arrows on fire and they all get down in a circle and they put their shields over them and the arrows just go right into the shields and the warriors are safe. Now, how big is this shield? Well, if you look at this from a man-centered way, it's only as big as your own faith. And so often we interpret the Bible in a man-centered way. And you end up putting faith in your faith. And so your confidence in the midst of warfare with the enemy is how big is my faith? And that's the very thing the enemy is going to attack. Your faith isn't big enough. And so when you get embroiled in some pretty intense spiritual darkness, you're going to be attacked because the enemy is going to say, your faith isn't big enough. Your faith isn't big enough. I'm going to get you. But if you say, wait a minute. It doesn't depend upon my own faith. It has nothing to do with the amount of my faith. It has to do with the shield, which is the object of my faith, and that is God Himself. Psalm 18, verse 30, God is a shield to all who take refuge in Him. Psalm 28, 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Just a mustard seed of faith in the God who is your shield is all you need to stave off the enemy. Number five, be armed with the helmet of salvation. Verse 17, the helmet protects the brain. Warfare occurs primarily in the mind. And again, you can't understand this passage unless you understand the Old Testament. Again, Isaiah 59, verse 17, Yahweh Himself wears a helmet of salvation. God Himself marches into battle as our warrior, as our protector God. He is the one who wears that helmet of salvation that saves us who know Christ. And He saves us from first to last, from beginning to end, from A to Z. Philippians 1, verse 6, He who began a good work in you will bring it on to completion. In the midst of battle with the forces of darkness, you must preach that to yourself. Hebrews 13, 20, the God of the eternal covenant will work in you that which is pleasing to Him. And the more you hope in the work of grace in you, the more the enemy has to flee. And if he keeps on coming at you, you keep on reminding yourself of the armor you've been given. And then lastly, number six, be armed with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Now, this word sword is not this big broadsword that you see in some of these movies. It's actually the Greek word for a little knife. In other words, it's very close personal contact. It's the kind of knife that only has relevance if your enemy is right on you. So it's talking about taking up the particular promises in Scripture that apply to the particular attack that you or your loved ones or your church is having to endure. We're to take up that sword of the Spirit in a very particular way, especially as regards the promises of God. So you see, all of this armor is not about you. As a matter of fact, it focuses us entirely upon Christ, just as the sacrament's going to do in a few moments. The people who get in trouble when it comes to spiritual warfare and doing battle with this present darkness are the people who make it all about them. Their focus is on them, or the focus is on the devil. If you focus on either yourself or the devil, you're going to get chewed up. Remember the story of the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts? They thought it was pretty cool and hip and trendy to cast out demons. So they tried to do it. And the demons overpowered them, stripped them, and sent them away running, bloody, naked, and bruised. If you focus on the evil one, you'll be bloodied. If you focus on yourself and your own resources, you'll be bloodied. If you continually say in the midst of battle, "O Christ, have mercy," and you remind yourselves of the armaments of grace, you will be safe, you will be strong, and you will never be naked.